I'm on the road to recovery, step by step.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Fort Lauderdale's Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday Night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. Let's have our joke.
I'm Spencer, an alcoholic joke teller. And I have another one from Take Me to Your Sponsor, Best Jokes and Cartoons from AA Grapevine. But before I get into that, it is Thursday, which means the bathrooms are located there. Best place to ask someone to be your sponsor. All right. Two old-timers were walking home from a meeting. On the way home, one of the old-timers turns to the other and says, "In the meeting, I got to wondering if they have AA in heaven." His friend says, "If they don't, I don't want to go to heaven." His buddy replies, "Tell you what, first one who goes promises to return and tell the other if there's AA in heaven." 6 months later, one passes away. His friend is walking home when he feels a tap on his shoulder. He turns to see his friend. They hug and laugh. "Remember our deal? Oh, you've come to tell me if there's AA in heaven." His buddy says, "I've got some good news and some bad news. Good news? AA has meetings 24 hours a day. All the old-timers are there." His earthbound friend asks, "What's the bad news?" "You're speaking on Friday night."
That was great, Spencer. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Marianne. Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation. So please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise that might or will distract others. Take this time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. Is everybody ready? Yeah. If so, let's start the meditation.
Thank you.
Please join me in the fog light prayer.
God,
let your love shine through me like a fog of light, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me.
Thank you. There is a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we've discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. And I have asked Lorraine to read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is. Let's welcome Lorraine.
Lorraine, alcoholic.
Here we go.
Okay, spiritual experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself amongst us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformation, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James called the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the differences long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members found that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than ourselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer.
Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly... Oh, yeah, got it. Okay. By talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane or meeting mode or just turn it off. And it is my pleasure to introduce our speaker tonight. I have so much love for this woman. She is like honey to my soul. Let's bring up Paulette.
Oh, we just poor James. Sorry, James. That's a part of just loving each other. Thank you. Thank you for giving me that nice care. Thank you. It's the 12th step. Can't believe I spent 12 weeks with you people and you haven't gotten on my nerves. I just love you guys to pieces. I haven't been feeling like I'm finishing up, and my sister and friend Marianne is continuing. So I've been in good space all day until you announced it. And I started to get emotional. You know, it's you're leaving home and going out there, you know, and I'm leaving my safe place. And until Marian said that, I was like, oh, yeah. So anyway, we are on the 12th step, and I'm grateful to be here tonight. And no matter how I feel, we'll see what God says, eh? Because this is his message of hope that we are blessed to carry, all of us who do service. And it's on the 12th step, by the way, so service without price tag. Service that is inconvenient. Service that those damn people ask me to do it when I've got plans. And my little plans and design, and it's just interrupting my flow. That service that you promised from the step one that you would go to any lengths for recovery. How dare they call me to come up here to do all of this? It's too far. All of that stuff. I know you all thinking it. You may not want to tell me, but because I've been there. Today, Marian and I talked about just doing it without even thinking. Once in a while, it happens where I'm like, damn, I wanted to see this movie. And then somebody reminds me, which usually is my sponsor, record it. Go do service. Anyway, I am an alcoholic, and I am a member of the One Day at a Time group of Alcoholics Anonymous located in Miramar. My home group meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. I am sponsored, and I sponsor. To me, that's the difference between work and working. I do have a sober date, and my sober date is January 28, 1995. And my name is Paulette. Hello, fellow travelers. And I am going to be reading my set-aside prayer that my previous sponsor, Dorothy H., gave to me that allows me to bring the God of my understanding in the meeting and helps me to stay right size. And it's many versions of this prayer. But this is the one that speaks to my spirit. It's called a set-aside prayer, and it goes like this. Dear God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself. This book, my disease, these steps, and especially about you, dear God, so that I may have an open mind and a new experience to all these things. Please help me to see the truth. That's part of what I get every time I do service, a new experience. And anyway, let's get into the word, okay? Thank you, James. Step 12. No, I have to read it. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. That's what 12 Step asks us to do. And for those of us who have been doing the work from week one to step 12, my sister and friend Marianne will carry on. So there shouldn't be no break in the learning and the teaching. So if you want what we have, you show up and we do the work. It's continuous till it becomes a working part of our lives. So Marianne will be here next week, so show up. Okay? One of my favorite part of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, one of them, is chapter 7, page 89, working with others. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics, and you can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. And here is the promise for me in it. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up amongst you or about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you won't want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers, with each other, is the bright spot of our lives. That's the first two paragraphs of chapter 7. I don't know about you, but every time I read it, I get God bumps on my back and on my arms because I am living in it. Some days better than others, but every day I get a piece of this, what he promises. Every time I get to an AA meeting, and I've met some of you for the first time, some of you are old friends, some of you are new friends, some of you are afraid to even ask my name. I don't bite. I am just as scared of you as you are of me because I don't know what you're going to ask me. And I may not be willing to tell you. But the fact of the matter is, when we have the meeting of the heart, mind, body, and spirit, this is what Bill Wilson is talking about. I get to do this. I get to do this every time I step into an AA meeting, even if it's the first time. I have yet to find an AA meeting since the very first time when my first sponsor, Phil B., took me to a meeting. And it was a meeting. I was in my first 90 days. I wasn't 90 days yet sober. And he was taking me to all the meetings that he got sober in. He was a constant relapser, and he went out 3 times. So he was serious about it this time when I walked into his life. And as my sponsor, he had 9 months to live. And he wanted me to experience Alcoholics Anonymous the way he got it before he died. And so he took me to every meeting in Manhattan, in the Bronx, Staten Island, Long Island, in Queens, and parts of Brooklyn that I would never have gone, left to my own devices. And he took me to this meeting in Bensonhurst. Bensonhurst, New York had segregated at the time. And so each culture, ethnicity have their own enclave. But alcoholism has no respect for who you are and where you come from and where you live. It just takes you, and it does not matter. And so my sponsor at the time took me to these meetings. And my sponsor was blind. So my arm was his cane, because he was vain about people seeing him with a cane. You know, go figure. You know, he's got a spiritual way of life, but he's vain about the way people seen him with a cane, which shows you that we are never cured. And so we'd go to these meetings. Every day we would go to a new meeting because he had little time and he wanted to pass this on. It's about the 12 steps. I didn't even know he was going to tell you about this. That's how God works. And so we go into this meeting in Bensonhurst. And I look around, and I saw nobody that looked like me and him. Now, he's blind. So I said to myself, this damn man is about to get us killed. I'm in my 90 days, so I wouldn't know better. All I know is I'm in fear. And I'm following a blind man. But that's how Alcoholics Anonymous works. This is what he's talking about, this 2 chapters. And I said to myself, he better not go sit in the middle of the meeting, because he always liked to go up front or sit in the middle of an AA meeting. And sure enough, he's sitting in the middle of the meeting, and I have to follow. So I'm looking at the exits, right? Anything happen, where do I run? And he's comfortable in his own skin. And I am really uncomfortable. And so I turn around, and then I see him talking to this other dude. And the dude said, hey, Phil, how are you? And I'm like, shit, they know him. And another one comes up, hey, it's Phil in the meeting. And he's like, oh, what's up? And everybody's talking. And he said, that's my pigeon, Paulette. That's how they call you back then. And I barely want to speak. And I'm like, what? Oh, hi. Hi. And I'm saying to myself, this is not happening. And everybody pretty much who's a member of that group in Bensonhurst knew Phil. And I'm sitting there. One of the most uncomfortable feeling that I have ever experienced getting sober was sitting in a meeting like that. I can't tell you what was said because I'm busy checking out everything and everybody. And my sponsor was comfortable. He's demonstrating what it is to practice the 12 step. I didn't know that then. And so at the end of the meeting, everybody comes up to him and they hug him and they say, come back again. We want to see you soon. And all of that. I couldn't wait to get out. And I said to him, as soon as we walked out of the meeting and up the block, I said, do you understand that the 2 of us are the only 2 black people in that room? And we're in Bensonhurst, for God's sakes. I can see you can't. He said, I can see you can't. He said, Alcoholics Anonymous have taught me that every time I enter an AA meeting, I am safe. I am secure. There is somebody there who's got my back. That's a group that I attended when I was having trouble staying sober. And those guys in that group and yes, in that group helped me to give me another 24. For that, I am grateful. I will never, ever forget what they did for me. And I looked at him and I said, what? Didn't make sense to me because I'm early sobriety. It goes over my head. And I said to myself, thank God I'm not coming back here again. There with him. But what happened was he did this all the time. And what has happened to me is that I have been able to do one day at a time, use those same steps that he took and go to any meetings, no matter where it is and who's attending. As long as it's an AA meeting, I am comfortable in my own skin. That's 12-step work. That's 12-step work. I have yet to be in a bad meeting because it isn't the meeting. It's me who is having a problem. And so that's part of my what I wanted to share with you. I didn't even know God wanted me to tell you about it. But anyway, let's start with, you know how I break up the steps? And tonight is no different. Let's go to the bottom part before we get to the first part. Let's see what it is about the principles of the 12-step is talking about. And I'm going to go to the 12 and 12. Because Bill has a nice synopsis of it. He likes to do it in things in a way that I like. To think that I never liked this man. Step one, it's in the 12 and 12, on page 107. And I'm starting there and I don't know where I'm going to end up, but this is what it is. He says, in a very real sense, I have been transformed. Why? 1 through 12 without skimping on the cement. And he says, because, why? Because I have laid hold of a source of strength beyond my wildest dream. I have tapped into an inner or unsuspecting inner resources. Lorraine read it tonight. And this source of strength meaning power, has allowed me in one way or the other that I had always denied myself this power. Through 1 through 12. Has allowed me to be in possession of a degree of honesty. And I like that word degree because it allows me to look at things that I am growing. Because if I have the complete 100% of honesty, I will stop doing the work. I am that kind of alcoholic. So I need 100% about I'm powerless over alcohol. Can't drink. But there is honesty in all other areas of my life that are constantly being redefined. Like 8-step talks about cut it open. So that sometimes I find things about myself that I haven't been totally honest. Like now, current, what's going on with me. That I have to open up, Bill calls it purposeless piece of surgery. So that's why I like the way he described it here as degrees of honesty. Because I'm getting to find out more about where am I dishonest? What area of my life is under that needs to be examined or re-examined? And then he says degrees of tolerance. He's talking about it in the 12 step, which tells me that I need to continue. It's not a destination. And then he says, I need degrees. I'm going to gain degrees of unselfishness. A self-centered, selfish human being such as myself needs to read that more often. Get out of yourself. Do something for somebody else without thinking twice about it. Easy to some normies, but not to us. It's a big deal. And then he says, degrees of peace of mind. Hello. All my life, I have been searching for that elusive state of mind. Just when I lay my head down or when I sit in a chair, I will immediately feel I am at peace with the world, with you, with the God of my understanding, even if it's for 10 minutes, I have paid dearly for that. I have hurt a lot of folks just to get that. I have gone about that in the wrong way. And here I am. All I had to do was surrender, pick up those spiritual toolkits, and get busy working. And now I can get degrees of peace of mind whenever I want to, if I am willing to work for it. This is what he's telling me on page 107. And then he says, love. Love. And he's talking about the agape love. The love that what I want for myself, my welfare and well-being, I want you to have the same. Feel that brotherly love, justice, peace. I want you to have it too. I want to wish you, I will help you work towards it. And I look for no rewards in return. All I want is the best for you. This is what this offers me right off the bat. So he says, listen, because what I have received standing here before you is a free gift. Free gift. In a small part, I have made myself ready to receive it, he says. So here's what it does. Let's look at how this works. We're going to have a synopsis of the whole 11 step to 12 and see what Bill says. He says, step one shows me an amazing paradox. Amazing. Because if I was told I'm unable to stop drinking, I couldn't get rid of my alcohol obsession until I first admitted to myself, which means it's the only disease that I could diagnose myself. Once I diagnose myself and swallow that bit of truth, 100% without skimping, then I have a chance. Change is necessary, he says. And then he says, because I'm powerless, I got to find a power that is not Paulette. So in step two, he says, I saw that I could not restore myself to sanity. I couldn't restore myself to sound thinking. I don't possess sound thinking. And then he says here, I had some higher power. Some higher power must necessarily do this. So he's talking to all of us who come in, agnostics, atheists. He's talking to all of us, those of us who had faith and lost it. Every single one is included in this. And then he says, this power, I need to find some kind of higher power if I am to survive. And then he says, step three, where I turn my will, my thinking, and the sum total of my thinking into action over to this some kind of higher power. And then he says, what will happen is, I've got to be able to use that commitment and put it into action, the decision. And that decision says, I have some unsaleable goods that have been blocking me from feeling connected with this power. So I got to remove them. I have to find out what am I selling. And what happened is that I have been blocked by resentment, fears. Oh my God, fear is a, Bill Wilson always classified this as fear as stealing. Harms to others. Every facet of my life was categorized in these four areas. Resentment, fear, harms to others, and my sex conduct. That's part of who I am. And he says, once I was able to remove that, he says, what happened for me is I'm starting to search now and looking at me instead of paying attention to you for distraction. And what happened is that what happened that caused me to be physically and morally and spiritually bankrupt. Bankruptcy. That's what I was. And so he says, I was brought in here and I started to do that. And I'm under this constant care of this higher power. Care, special attention. My needs are being taken care of while I'm doing this. And he talks about it in a way that he says that when I tell you this thing, I'm not doing it by myself, because part of what I'm gaining is a degree of humility. I have now have an opportunity to open what I call a silent river that runs within my soul that sometimes I don't feel it. Every time you say you have humility, you just lost it, because it's silent. It runs through me like a river. I don't know it. Sometimes I know when I'm feeling it, you just feel different. Well, he says, if I gain this in five, as I have seen the opportunity where I am going to be forgiven, I can be forgiven. I can be restored to sanity, sound thinking. I absolutely can be a part of the world that I have shunned because I was fearful of you. He says, if I do this, if I understand that a selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate human being, fearful and frightened at every step of the way, if I can be restored to sanity and be able to do this, he says, then I can also be able to find the gifts that the two first paragraphs in working with others is talking about. Peace of mind. One of the biggest things that I cherish. The ability to be by myself and not feel like I am an odd duck and missing out. Comfortable in my own skin. And continues to talk about it in so many different, in each one of it. He says practical reason that I should be able to realize that my character defect that was disclosed are now objectionable to my spirit. The things that I used to use and manipulate and con to get what I want, to fill that hole, because somehow what I thought was my desire and my instincts that was God-given, I needed to get more. And so I'm going to take yours. And I did all kinds of things far exceed its function. Those things, and now that I am sober, I can't do them anymore. Rob me. And so he keeps talking about these things. And he says, so I decided, what am I going to do? I've got to work on this, because I have to quit being defiant, which is an alcoholic characteristic. One of the greatest gift I found out is that every one of us have this thing called defiance. What is it makes an alcoholic defiant to the very last end? We all have this in certain degrees, some till we die, to the bitter end. And some of us decide to throw it in and come in. But defiance. And so he's talking about this, and he says what we do is in 8 and 9, continue our house cleaning and start to repair the damage. Go out in the world. He's talking about this in 12. Because he's doing a synopsis of what the work we have done to get to 12. Because he's pointing out, because alcoholics like me like to gloss over the things that we have done to get to the next one. But here he wants me to sit and still and look at what 12 is offering me. It has offered me all of this. Step 12 contains 1 through 11. So I'm working this. Every day, in fair weather or foul weather, on Saturday mornings and Sunday nights. Absolutely without a doubt. My awareness of the God of my understanding has to be maintained every day. Every time I play hooky, I pay for it. You do. Because you come in contact with me. Untreated alcoholism is not something that is dead. It can come back if my spiritual condition isn't fit. And so this keeps me clean, current, as Marianne and I talked about, current. I got to be current. You know, and so under all these conditions, we have to do this. He continues to go through it, and then he says, so to be the persistent use of meditation and prayer, I found, did open my channel. So that where there has been a trickle, there's now a river that had led to pure power and safe guidance from a God of my own understanding. And as I were increasing better. So he talks about degrees, and then he talks about increase. So if I have been restored to sanity or sound thinking, it tells me that the more degrees of these qualities, the more increased I will feel this power. That's the river. And if you're an alcoholic like me, these are the pearls that I want to keep seeking. I got to do this some more. And if you're like me, I get up 4:45 in the morning. No matter how tired I am, I get up. It's just one of those things I inherited from my dark past. And but I've learned to love it because it's quiet, it's peaceful. I get to realize how much I am part. I'm just a little pebble in the sand. When you get up that early in the morning. But to be honest with you, selfish part of me says I get to God before you all do. Because you all got a whole lot of problems. I want God to take care of me before he gets to you. So I always tell myself that and get a chuckle out of it for myself. Because it allows me to sit. And now I want it to become a working part of my life. And so my meditation and quiet time. It's not a long time now. I've worked my way into about 30 minutes. But it's quality that I'm looking for, not quantity. So what I do in that quiet time is specific to how I set. It's how I set up my day. My day starts with my talking to God. Because a selfish, self-centered person such as myself has to do that. Of myself, I am nothing. I must get that, tap into that unsuspecting inner resource. And so when I do that, what I am actually doing is increasing my chances of having an awareness of God and an opportunity to invite God into my life every morning. And so what he says is the wonderful energy that this 12-step now is going to give me is giving back to you every time I do service. Now, I was taught that service is inconvenient, 12-step. Why is it inconvenient? It always comes at the most inopportune time. If it's not inconvenient, then it isn't service. It's socializing. That's what the long timer that I got sober with told me. So it can't be on my time. And so whenever Marian and myself and Peter, we come up here to do service, believe me, we have a social life, a good one too. We really do. But because we made a contract and a commitment to give back what was so freely given to us, this is a privilege. We get to do this. We get to do this. And so what he's saying here is, when you get to do this, you go and you're transformed. What is he talking about? What am I going to be transformed about? Well, I'm going to use something that one of my sponsor, Dorothy H., she wasn't a speaker. She didn't like to come up in front of you, but she was quiet and she had a grace about her and she made a lot of meetings. She's a meeting maker, and she likes to go all over. I don't know what it is about me and sponsors. They like new meetings all over, but that's the kind of sponsorship I was raised on. And she said to me one day, she said, Paulette, 12-step service sometimes is going to a meeting when you really don't want to go to that meeting, but your sober feet takes you to that meeting. And you're there in that meeting sitting down. And somebody in that meeting needed to see you at a meeting. That's 12-step work. You don't know this, but because you're in that meeting, somebody in that meeting was hoping that you would show up. You just might have gave them another opportunity for hope of carrying on for the next hour. That's a 12-step work. And she said that to me, I never forgotten it. And then I read it in the 12 and 12. He says, just be in a meeting. An AA meeting is an assurance to another alcoholic. And so then he talks about some questions that I have to put to you guys, because I've taken them over and over. They're very important. He said, how do I come to terms with the failure of success or just pure failure? 12-step helps me. Most of you have known that it's not even 2 years yet. The love of my life for 41 years passed away. Ed died in 2022. I try to block the date out sometimes. 41 years. And this is what 12-step does. He says, here's what he says. Can I now accept and adjust to either without despair or pride? Can I accept poverty? Can I accept sickness? Can I accept loneliness? Can I accept bereavement and courage and serenity? With courage and serenity. Can I steadfastly content myself with the humbler yet sometime more durable satisfaction when brighter and more glittering achievement are denied me? He says. And he says the answer to these questions, yes, all these things are possible. Why? I believe this because I'm living proof of this. Ed got sick, and rapidly his health declined. I have never, ever thought that we would never grow old together and be sitting in our rocking chair with our great-grandchildren. I've always thought that we would live for the rest of our lives together. So when he started to deteriorate in health, I just did not know what to do. And so what happened is sober feet kicks in and you people started calling me. I started going to meetings. And then in the midst of all of that AA convention that I have never, ever thought of attending, called me and said I would be a speaker at the convention. I have never been to Florida convention, nor did I want to. In the midst of this man declining, I still didn't think he was going to die. But Alcoholics Anonymous says service comes and you go. He even dropped me at the hotel for the night that I was going to speak. That's this last gift to me, to be of service to AA that gave him back the woman that he almost lost. This is service beyond my wildest dreams. Never thought of it. Can't be measured. And so I do that. I come home. And I come home to him because I realize that all the years that I have been ripping and roaring in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Staten Island, forgetting about that there was somebody that cared about me at home, never gave a two thoughts about it. In the final analysis, when Ed was dying, the 12th step of Alcoholics Anonymous kicked in. It was like automatic. I showered him. I combed his hair, gave him his meds, took him to his doctor's appointment. We laugh a lot, talks about jokes. And one night he looked at me and he's sitting on his commode and he just looks at me and he said, "Babes, you should get a medal because you have given me the kind of care I could never have gotten in a hospital. It's because of you. It's because of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. is giving service without a price tag. I wanted him to have his dignity. I wanted him to feel that he was still a part of the living. I wanted him to be human, because you guys taught me how to be human by working the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. This program, in all its grittiness, in all its ups and downs, in all of the bad and the good or the indifference, the gray, the white, you have allowed me to give the best of me in worse situation. This is what 12 Step is talking about. I have been given. I have been laid. It's been laid upon me. Haven't given. Tap this inner unsuspecting inner resources to a spiritual awakening. What is this spiritual awakening? And Bill says it right here in the beginning of 12. He says, when a woman like me has a spiritual awakening, the most important meaning of it is that I have now been able or become the ability to do, to feel, to believe that which I could not do on my own unaided strength. This is what a spiritual awakening is, according to this design for living. And he says, what happened is that I don't have the resources on my own. I tried. But I get a hold of these tools, these principles. And I start to get degrees of it the more I work it. And living or life situation shows up. And I get to put it to practice. And I use it. Sometimes I'm successful. Sometimes it fails. But you don't stop using it. Because the more I use it, I get more. I get stronger. Strength, power, because it's flowing. And so when he says, this is what I am, he says, I have been granted a gift, which amounts to a new state of consciousness. New state. That's what he said, new. So I've never had this before. This is not a leftover or a hand-me-down. This is new. And if you're like me, you want new. And he says, not only do I have a new state of consciousness, I will have a new state of being. The woman that took care of Ed for however long God granted him was a new woman. I didn't look for accolades. I didn't look for anybody to tell me I was doing a good job. I did it because it was the right thing to do. That's what this is about. I don't look for validation. It's the right thing to do. And so what happened is, he says, I have been placed on a path. That's why I like to call you fellow travelers. Because we are all on this journey. It's a path. It's a spiritual path. And the funny thing is, not ha-ha funny. It's kind of heebie-jeebie funny. The funny thing is, once you get on this path, no matter what you do or how long it takes, you just can't get off. You know, you may do all kinds of crazy stuff, because alcoholics like us, we do crazy stuff, but we just can't get off. It's what they talk about, a belly full of AA. No matter what you do, you remember. And you do your damnedest to get back on it. Because we are waiting for you. We're always waiting for you. We're happy you're here. Because we can't do it without you. No one of us do it by ourselves. And so when he says this, he says, I absolutely have been placed on a path that I am going somewhere. That life is not a dead end. Life has a purpose. This is what gives me my swag in the morning. I've got purpose. I am not like a leaf that used to be blown from one side to the other. I have a purpose. Everyone that comes in my path should be blessed. not cursed, as it used to be. And then he says, life is not something to be endured or mastered. Enjoy life. Inspire, motivate, encourage. The words we say to each other matters. Because what 11th step says, he says, Lord, make me a channel. Can't be a channel if you're blocked. But if you're not blocked and you did follow the instructions, you know you can be a channel of peace. That where there is hatred, you can bring love. Can't do this if you're blocked. That where there's wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. Can't do it if you got resentment. That where there is discord, I can bring harmony. That where there is error, I can bring truth. That where there is doubt, I may bring faith. That where there is despair, I may bring hope, spiritual awakening. And then he says that where there are shadows, I may bring light. And so he says, I may bring light, but where there is sadness, I may bring joy. That's what I gave Ed in his final months on earth. Sadness was not a part of our nightly talks. Joy, laughter. We laughed about the crazy things that I used to do when I was drunk. And how much he waited for me in the middle of the night, not wondering if I was going to show up dead. Somebody was going to call him with the bad news. But he said it because he was happy that Alcoholics Anonymous gave him back the woman that he loved. And he said it because he's a part of what we talk about. This is what this 11th step has given me in despair and sadness. We laughed joy, because joy is divine. It's spiritual in nature. Human beings don't give me that. It's divine. One person speaking to another about the God of their understanding brings about joy. And then he says, grant that I may seek to comfort and to be comforted, to understand and to be understood, to love and to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting me that I can find you, the God of my understanding as well. It's by forgiving that I am forgiven. It is by dying the old self, me, dead, that I am awakened to a new state of consciousness and being. And so I'm going to end with this, and I'll give each one of you one of them. I hope I have enough. Dorothy Harris gave me this when I 12 signs of spiritual awakening. 1, an increased tendency to let things happen rather than make them happen. 2, frequent attacks of smiling. 3, feeling of being connected with others and nature. 4, frequent overwhelming episodes of appreciation, which means I can't bitch no more. A tendency to think and act spontaneously rather than from fear based on past experience. Another sign of a spiritual awakening, an unmistakable ability to enjoy each moment. A loss of the ability to worry. A loss of interest in conflict. So it's not my circus, not my monkey. No more. Thank you for sharing. I think I'll pass. a loss of interest in interpreting others' action, which means I no longer can read your mind and know what you're thinking. And then he says, I've lost the interest in judging others. And I've lost the interest in judging myself. And the last one is, I am gaining the ability to love without expecting anything in return. That's the 12th step. Thank you.
Oh my God. I just love being a fellow traveler with you.
Me too. Me
Don't
too.
We? Don't we? Let's give her another round.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, as a special thanks for sharing your... Oh, I don't want to go next week. I want her to go.
No, I want you to go.
A special thanks for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us. These past 3 months, we have a couple of special gifts for you.
Mm-hmm.
The first gift is 2 collectors, limited production, first edition Big Book refrigerator magnet. We love you, Mike Chase. Go big or go home, mm-hmm. Mike Chase. And the second gift we have is a limited edition coffee mug. Thank you very much for your service, your friendship, and being a fellow traveler with all of us.
Oh.
Right? Wow, wow, wow.
Thank you, Mary.
Wow, wow, wow.
Make sure you guys are here next week, okay?
Okay.
Continue now. You want some of this stuff, you got to listen, come get what she's got to offer.
Ooh, okay. Where am I now? That? Okay. I would like to introduce the secretary report. Right?
Hi, my name is Brandon. I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. In keeping with the 7 tradition, which states that every group should be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. I have asked Todd to come up and read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic.
Hey, I'm Todd. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Todd. Sorry, my head's spinning. Paulette, thank you so much. It's amazing. So it's a privilege to be here and hear you speak. They're recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism, recovered but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime, but we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Wow. 1940-style Big Book sponsorship from the forward to the second edition. Alcoholics Anonymous of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried. 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, and came to believe and experience is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Is anyone needing a sponsor? Can the recovered alcoholics please raise their hand? If you were too shy to raise your hand, these are the people you want to surround yourself with. And then announcements. Intergroup is where you can buy AA-related literature, medallions. Intergroup is also responsible for creating our Where and When and scheduling the AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. Next. Broward County Institutions Committee is responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get to an outside meeting, such as jails, detoxes, and rehabs. They meet monthly to organize the meeting schedules at the 12-step house. Do we have any members of BCIC here? If so, stand up so everybody can ask you questions after. There we go. All right, here's some upcoming service opportunities. Telephone relay. James has more information on that in the back. And then we have Marion. She's doing 2 steps a week starting next week, so make sure you're here. And then, of course, here's our home group's Monday night's Big Book Study Workshop, where the Big Book comes alive. Join us for fellowship at 6:30. The workshop starts at 7:15. We have CDs, mugs, large print Big Books, and little red books, and Big Book dictionaries for sale. We meet here every Thursday starting promptly at 7:15, and we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bells. See you next week.
Okay, did you tell them that we have tonight's speaker and all past speaker podcasts at alcoholicsandgod.org? I'd like to invite everyone to our Monday night Big Book. You just said all this, Brandon, but I'm doing it again. And those who wish to thank tonight's speaker, please line up down the middle. And let's all, from our chairs, from our seats, please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thirsty, body's aching. I am desperately in need of restoration. Yeah, and I am ready for you to take me higher. Yeah, the only thing that I can do. These possessions that I have amount to nothing at all. just can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man. Getting on my knees puts me back on my feet again. On my own, I just can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man. Thank you.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine.
Michael Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you? Genre.
Got one man that just won't set me free.